Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 6, Dhyana Yoga, Text Number 24. Sanishchayena Yuktavyo Yoga Nirvina Chetasa Sankalpa Prabhavan Karamans Tyaktva Sarvam Asheshataha Manasavendriya Gramam Vinayamya Samantata Sa that is Chayena with firm determination Yuktavya must be practiced Yoga system Avirni Anirvina Chetasa without deviation Sankalpa mental speculations Prabhavan born of Kaman material desires Tyaktva giving up Sarvan all Asheshataha completely Manasa by the mind Eva certainly Indriyagramam the full set of senses Vinayamya regulating Samantata from all sides. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation and thus control all the senses on all sides by the mind. Purport. The yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for the rigid practitioner. Regarding bhakti yoga, Rupa Goswami says, Utsahanishyadaryat Tat-tat karma pavartanat sangat yagat sato rite shadvira bhakti prasiditi. One can execute the process of bhakti yoga successfully with full-hearted enthusiasm, perseverance, and determination by following the prescribed duties in the association of devotees and by engaging completely in the activities of goodness. As for determination, one should follow the example of the sparrow who lost her eggs in the waves of the ocean. A sparrow laid her eggs on the shore of the ocean, but the big ocean carried away the eggs on its waves. The sparrow became very upset and asked the ocean to return her eggs. The ocean did not even consider her appeal, so the sparrow decided to dry up the ocean. She began to pick out the water in her small beak, and everyone laughed at her for her impossible determination. The news of her activity spread, and alas, Garuda, the gigantic bird carrier of Lord Vishnu, heard it. He became compassionate towards his small sister bird, and so he came to see the sparrow. Garuda was very pleased by the determination of the small sparrow, and he promised to help. Thus Garuda at once asked the ocean to return her eggs, lest he himself take up the work of the sparrow. The ocean was frightened at this and returned the eggs. Thus the sparrow became happy by the grace of Garuda. Similarly, the practice of yoga, especially bhakti yoga in Krishna consciousness, may appear to be a very difficult job. But if anyone follows the principles with great determination, the Lord will surely help. For God helps those who help themselves. Sanishchayena yuktavyo yoga nirvina chetasaha sankalpa bhavankara mans tyaktva sarvamaseshataha manasarvendriya gramam vinayamya samantata. One should engage oneself in the practice of yoga with determination and faith and not be deviated from the path. One should abandon without exception all material desires born of mental speculation, and thus control all the senses and all sides by the mind. Krishna has, in the previous verse, he's told us what perfection is. And now he's going back, and he's starting the process all over again to tell us what the process is. Because he's already told us perfection as a lamp in a windless place does not waver. So the yogi whose mind is fixed on me remains as steady and as a lamp in a windless place. Yatra paramite chitam niruda yoga sevaya yatra chaivatmanatmanam pashanatmanitushati sukham adyantikandra yatadburi kramyam vitindriyam vedi yatra nachayvayamastitam chalati tatvataha tam yam labachapalam labam manite nadikam tita yasmin sitona dukena guruna pivichalyate tam vidyara dukasam yogam vigogam yogasam gitaha. That state of perfection is called trance or samadhi, when one's mind is completely restrained from all material mental activities by the practice of yoga. This is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness and enjoys himself through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth. Upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. This indeed is the actual freedom from all material miseries arising from material contact. So that's perfection. Just to fix the mind upon Krishna. Now he's come back, sanischayena yuktavyo, to the process. He's told us about the perfection, and what is that process, and part of it is nischayena, which is similar to nishta, becoming faithful or fixed. Steady. And Prabhupada quotes the verse, utsaha nischaya dayan. And we have the word nischaya. So one has to become, it begins with utsaha nischaya darya. So darya, patience. Therefore we're actually hearing so we can acquire some patience at the beginning. What's the cause of patience? Why does one become patient? Well, because we understand we're eternal. Since we're eternal, we have a long time. And if you have unlimited time, you can be pretty patient. Now, we're not patient in this age because everyone is more and more into the bodily concept of life, that when you leave your body or when the body dies, everything's finished. And you only have a very short period of time to do everything you want to do, and after that it's all over. So that's the culture we've been brought up in. I think we were brought up in India, then people are a little bit more patient. I arrived in the Calcutta airport in 1974, I believe it was, or 73 or something. And everyone was sitting around doing nothing. So, coming from New York, I never saw anyone not doing anything. And they were, I thought, how could these people be sitting around doing nothing? They must be in anxiety or what? But anyhow, the culture is different. So in a culture in the Western world where everyone's in the bodily concept of life, either they're completely active or they're completely intoxicated. Either one. In any case, there is no patience whatsoever. I remember reading about how in Texas someone was stopped at a light, and the light actually turned green, but the car didn't move. So the car in the back started to honk, you know, bump, beep, beep, beep. And so the person in the front became so angry that someone was honking at him, he took his rifle and shot him. It's called lack of patience. So we have to become more patient than that. But then people are, when people are in the Bali concept of life, every moment, every second counts. Not for a spiritual realization of Yartha Kalatvam, but to enjoy sense gratification every moment. Therefore, if you order pizza, I'm sure even here from the local pizza parlor, immediately they jump in a motorcycle and they deliver it. It must happen here too, doesn't it? Because people can't, it's been 5 minutes and I haven't, you know, my tongue is not satisfied. And I think at least in America, if the pizza person doesn't arrive exactly on time within the scheduled 10 minutes or whatever it is, then you get it for free. Is that right? So people are so impatient. Even the commercials, they only last for 10 seconds or 20 seconds because people can't concentrate more than that. Come on, come on, you know. 2 seconds, come on. And if there's patience, then one can actually hear. If one cannot hear, you can't learn anything, believe it or not. Without being able to hear, you can't really understand anything or learn anything. If you learn anything, you can't be convinced of anything. If you don't know anything, how you can be convinced? If you can't hear properly and assimilate the knowledge, then you can't be convinced. And if you're not convinced, you'll always be doubtful. If you're always doubtful, you can't achieve enthusiasm for very long. Now we may see people go to a football game. I don't know what they do here. They have a football stadium here. They play soccer, is that the favorite thing? Soccer. So people seem very enthusiastic as long as their team wins. And if they don't win, they're usually quite depressed. Isn't that right? All the enthusiasm goes away. Indeed, in South America and in Central America, there was a football game match between two countries, and when one country lost, it resulted they started a war. It's called lack of patience. So, by hearing, assimilating the knowledge, then gradually we can understand and become convinced. That's called varna dasa. So in order to do that, shravana dasa, that one has to live in a suitable place. So here the suitable place for the yogi has been described, because people can, as Prabhupada said, execute the yoga practice in the middle of a city. All the noise going on, kids screaming, throwing the ball against your window. You're trying to meditate. Yeah, you're trying to meditate. I wish I can go out and strangle the little kid. That becomes the meditation. So one cannot execute yoga practice in a city. One has to go to a secluded place. Now we ourselves, even we're trying to practice our japa, generally speaking, unless our minds are really disturbed, we stay in the temple and we try and chant. And try, you know, where the pictures are, and everyone else is doing the same thing. Most devotees go when things are normal, they don't go downtown Ljubljana to chant their rounds. Because they know there's too much distraction. So to have a nice undistracted place where one cannot be so much distracted, and then sitting on it in a way that one is not going to fall asleep. According to how we sit, then that much we can pay attention. We're leaning over, then we're trying to fall asleep. We're leaning this side, we're going to sleep on that side. This side, we'll sleep on that side. This side, oh! So, the way we sit actually has some way how much we can concentrate. And the question is, as it says here, how much determination do we have? If our perfection is delayed, do we think, well, wait a second, it's been delayed, I'll never achieve it. Therefore, one has to understand, be patient, we're eternal. It's a process of developing desire. And if everything came easily, we take everything, we wouldn't develop any desire. Desire usually comes when there's some impediment. Therefore, even in the material world, people, well, let's take the spiritual world. Radharani is not submissive to Krishna. Because if she was submissive to Krishna, Krishna would take her for granted after some time, like Chandravali. But Radharani is always, she's a left-wing gopi. So Krishna is challenged in order to please Radharani. So that's eternally like that. And Radharani has to play, because she's instructed by Lalita, how to make her hard to get for Krishna. So Krishna is always developing more and more of desire to please Radharani, and Radharani is always developing more and more of desire to please Krishna. So similarly, we have to develop desire, and part of the desire is it has to become difficult. Anything that's too easy to get, we take for granted. And anything that's difficult to get, that we really want to get, we value much more. So similarly, the process of yoga is specifically made to be difficult so that we can develop the desire to obtain Krishna. Now, bhakti yoga is the same thing. It's made so Krishna is not so easy. As Krishna, even with his liberated souls, the gopis show us that Krishna called them for the rasa dance by playing on his flute. They all came there. And Krishna told them to go home. So they said, wait a second. We just ran out of our houses. We just defied our fathers and our husbands and our parents and everyone, our brothers. And now you're telling us, get lost. This doesn't seem right. Anyhow, Krishna agreed to dance with them, and then he left them. And then he came back to them. He said, they said, wait a second. You know, we love you unconditionally, and yet you just whimsically leave us like that. What's going on? Tell me, is in the reciprocation between lovers, some of them love selflessly, some of them have some desire. What kind of lover are you? So Krishna understood what they were talking about. He said, not that I've been ungrateful to you, but if I was too easy to get, then our loving relationship wouldn't prosper, wouldn't last. Therefore, sometimes I make myself hard to get, but that doesn't mean that I'm ungrateful, that I'm eternally indebted to you. But still, this is part of our loving relationship. So, if we find bhakti yoga hard sometimes, it's supposed to be hard. If it was easy, we'd never develop desire to obtain Krishna. But Krishna is always anxious to reciprocate if we show some sincerity, which means to develop even a little sincerity is not so easy. Because we've become attracted to so many things since time immemorial that Krishna is just one of the things on our list we're interested in. And therefore Krishna has to make himself a little difficult, so we check a few things off our list, we give them up for the sake of becoming Krishna conscious. And then Krishna encourages us in some way to keep on with that process. He sometimes becomes difficult, and then he reveals himself and we think, oh, now I've conquered Krishna. And then it becomes difficult again. And that way we can make progress. Or as Prabhupada writes, well, one has to be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. And when he sees the genuine desire of the disciple, he automatically blesses him with genuine spiritual understanding. So we shouldn't expect Krishna consciousness to be easy. We should expect there should be challenges, just like Krishna challenges all his devotees, not only the new devotees, But he challenges all the devotees in order so that they can make some, develop a desire, because it's not a mechanical process. Ultimately, it's a process of increasing our desire to obtain Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thanks for the lecture. I have a question regarding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the mood of Krishna and Srimati Radharani.
In the mood of Radharani.
In the mood of Radharani, thank you. In the mood of Radharani, so how he displayed this not submissiveness from Radharani or...
Well, he was always feeling separation from Krishna. So sometimes Krishna would come and he'd disappear. I mean, how did he display the mood of Radharani?
Yeah, or...
Compassion. He didn't come here to get away from Krishna. He was in the mood of separation from Krishna. Sometimes you get angry at Krishna. He had many varieties of emotions that would appear simultaneously. So in that way, sometimes he was crying out for Krishna, sometimes he was chastising Krishna.
And we cannot understand this feeling, so we should not imitate, or because some...
Go ahead, see what you can do.
Krishna, I'm just...
I mean, our imitation would be just, the example is used that a woman, she wanted to be pregnant, but she's not pregnant. So she's making all kinds of sounds as if she's giving birth. But what's going to come out? Nothing. So we can imitate, but it's useless. We have to qualify ourselves.
And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came as an example of a devotee. So maybe, why should we not imitate him? Or
we should follow his instructions, not imitate.
Follow his, thank you. Follow his instructions.
Yes. Otherwise, you want to imitate Krishna, or Lord Shiva, your devotee of Lord Shiva, you want to imitate him, then drink an ocean of poison. You want to imitate Krishna in the Rasa dance, then divide yourself into 16,108 times and dance with 16,108 gopis. Or if you want to imitate Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then expand let your limbs of your body expand out, and then come into the, then retract and become like a pumpkin. So when you do that, we'd be impressed. Separate all your limbs and then withdraw them back and become a pumpkin. Or dance in the Sankirtan dance, and dance in seven parties simultaneously, seven different Sankirtan groups simultaneously. Then it'd be impressive. Anyhow, the only thing we generally, Krishna's, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to feel separation from Krishna. Usually the only thing we're separating from, feel separation from, is prasadam. So, you know, we're not quite on the same level. Anything else?
This pervert mentions enthusiasm. And also the verse, the purport and the verse. But enthusiasm doesn't seem to be much of a voluntary emotion, that you just decide I'm enthusiastic and we are enthusiastic. So how does one practice enthusiasm?
No, enthusiasm comes automatically. We're automatically enthusiastic about something that gives us happiness. We don't have to practice it. It comes automatically. If you like something, you become enthusiastic about it. We may not be as enthusiastic as, you know, Radharani running to Krishna, but we're enthusiastic. Otherwise, you know, people are always in expectation. When they go to, when they watch a movie, they're enthusiastic. They're in expectation. They're going to enjoy. They watch a football game, they go to the, whatever they're doing. They're enthusiastic. They play a game of tennis. Without enthusiasm, no one could do anything. Just that in the material world, we don't experience so much enthusiasm. We don't really know what real enthusiasm is, but it's part of our nature. To come to class, you have some enthusiasm. You have to have some enthusiasm. And if there's some joke told, then usually enthusiasm increases a little bit more. But without enthusiasm, nothing goes on. Could you imagine if you really didn't want to come? You know, three devotees said, "Drek, no!" You have to have some enthusiasm. Otherwise, you can't put one foot in front of the other in order to come here without some enthusiasm. Just like in a temple, not everyone shows up for class because not everyone is so enthusiastic. But it was time for prasadam, unless the person's dead. Someone doesn't show up for prasadam, everyone gets worried. So there's enthusiasm, obviously. Anything else? Yes.
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. I want to ask you if you work with people every day, and they are angry and impatient, what can you do that not become crazy or like them?
Well, become more angry than they are. Then they'll go away. No, we can think about Krishna. Imagine if you were Prahlad Maharaj dealing with his father. He said, "Father, calm down. Cool it, Dad." No, he was angry and impatient. But Prahlad was in a different world because he was thinking about, he took shelter of Krishna. So our only hope is to take shelter of Krishna, to think about, chant Hare Krishna, or think about Krishna. And that's the only solution to all our problems. All right, thank you very much. Grandharaj, Bhagavad Gita, Kija.